Good morning to everybody. If you are all surprised at me chairing this meeting, it's only because you were absent at the last meeting. I thought that the first meeting would be a rather informal meeting where we could introduce ourselves and get to know each other. See, will then lead us through the discussions and formalities of the goals that we have to process today. I imagine that that won't take too long. But in that eventuality, I'll then hand over to Mr. Karim to take the meeting forward, and also to Ms. Mkondo to then chair the meeting further. Unless there are any questions, any comments from members, I take it we're all in agreement. You will see immediately that there are two big advantages to having me chair the meeting and not Mr. Karim. The first, of course, is I'm more stylish and prettier. But that's not his fault, of course. But the second is that I don't speak as much as he does. So, when you get a call and I say to you, I just want 5 minutes of your time, I mean 5 minutes, and you're not going to get old in the process. So let me for the last time.
I get old
fast. Sure. Thank you very much, and I will. My office will be in touch with all of you to just arrange a small team meeting to get to know each other, and I will then see you when I see you.
Presumably, the coffee drinkers will also be happy.
As long as not anything alcoholic, I'm happy to oblige.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope very soon I'll be the chairperson of some committee. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once more. And without any waste of time, I'll hand over to you.
I don't know why the chairperson is so racist. She's greeting Sandra, but she's ignoring Ursula altogether. You can see once I move out. You smiled at her. But, now, the most important note, look, on the FA Express call, as comrades, our friends know, we processed it in one single sitting in the morning. There's nothing to do, really. It's a good call. There wasn't much to change. The only issue was the scheduling. And we said as a committee, as a study group, we'd like to apply our mind, and we gave the executive more time. And we engaged with the executive in informally over the constituency period. So I hand over to Sandra to just tell us in a quick minute what we did. Because it's exactly the same bill, friends. Nothing's been changed except for this. And we finished in a sitting of 2.5 hours.
Chair, if I could ask members to turn to section 9 on amendment of laws. In consequence of the decision of the executive, section 9 provides for South African Express Pty Proprietary Limited to be a Schedule 2 entity. And the format and content of this section 9 corresponds with the same approach that we had taken in the InfraCo bill. The difference would be between these two provisions is the numbering. And in this regard, I have to bring to your attention that some of you may have a version of the bill that refers to in 9A. To tax being listed as 11A in the PFMA. So you would have in 9A and 9B references to 11A of the
Can I just read? I have to say the Justice Committee has changed, and I cannot go to a new committee late. The deal we struck was we would meet at 9 o'clock to 9:30. Bongi Kosi got the version last night. Chris Wong got the version last night. It is exactly the same bill, Comrade Chek, and all we want to do is send that to you. Now, just say this typographical error. Just change the 11 to 16. That's it.
That's it.
Okay? Now, in that case, it is an informal processing of the bill. The formal one we handled by the chair. Okay? We finished. Is there anything else? No. Right. So this bill is put to this committee informally, meaning I have no authority to put it to you formally. Informally, this is the bill. All that's happened is it's scheduled to, and we note that instead of 11A, the text that I got is 16A. 16A, is that it? Okay.
Chairperson, as you haven't got time, you know, everything is being rushed.
No, just sorry, haven't you? It's all exactly as it was.
No, but I mean with this meeting, and even we received now the report or anything
informal. Hello. I'm still chairing this meeting, and the procedure for chairing the meeting is to raise consent, and you are identified by the chairperson for the right to speak. So who of you wants to speak?
Whether I had the time or not, Comrade Chair, it is simple. It's a typographical error. 11 becomes 16, and this is what we agreed to. On the scheduling, it's 2. So it's not about time. But anybody can speak, obviously, Comrade Chair.
But Chairperson, will we come to a point where we say we agree or not agree with the bill? Or we still just...
That's the common part of the bill. Clause by clause, we say, funded.
And then the report is the report we got. It's exactly the same. There's no change to it. For some reason, Bonani, you send two copies. And you have to do it again. You send two copies of the infrastructure report to the environment instead of sending a copy of the report. But I told him last night he didn't have the time. But anyway, it's three paragraphs.
I think this is what we agreed to. The committee is pleased to have processed this bill, which by separating South Access from Transnet advances the transformation of Transnet into a focused freight transport company with rail, port and pipeline operations with Eric Puskaki. He wanted that change, but late last night, he wanted to say something like rail, port and pipeline businesses as core businesses. That's too clumsy. So the word operations of business, whatever members want, we can change it. But I use the word that Translate uses. I check the annual report. They use the word operations. Sometimes they refer to businesses. Simply send us. Can we be advised by you? Is there a difference? What should we use? Operations?
Chair, I think operations is actually more appropriate insofar as these are separate companies.
Then the next point is exactly the point that is in InfraGlobal. The wording is exactly the same. It simply says a schedule in the Public Finance Management Act to which fact it belongs was not set out in the version of the bill introduced to Parliament. The Department subsequently proposed, the Department that proposed it, they have to say that, an amendment to make it a Schedule 2. The committee feels that a decision about which schedule a public entity belongs to is primarily, notice primarily, an executive function, and it should be defined in the relevant bills introduced to Parliament. Of course, if a parliamentary committee disagrees with the executive decisions on this, it must present a formidable case and engage the department. We know that SACS is doing reasonably well at the moment. We know that SACS operates in a very challenging and volatile industry, but we would like to see it improve its performance. Should SACS experience financial difficulties in future, it cannot expect to be easily rescued through the national fiscus. This is a point that DA and ourselves agree on, actually. But they can't just come to the national fiscus. SAC has to consistently improve, we argue. It's not good enough. And we'll monitor its progress closely. So this is a report I ask Comrade Chair that we informally adopt it, and then you can do the formal process.
As I just went through it, this is a very small report. Actually, very, very small. Three paragraphs. And I know it's a simple bill, but I mean, more could have been checked. What confuses me here is that the department proposes it should be a Schedule 2, although the committee differs, feels that the decision should be taken about the executive function. Now, there are two big positions now. This is what the department says, this is what we say. So what does the report say?
The point is very clear. Maybe we should do an Afrikaans translation. But
no, I understand English quite well.
No, I don't think we should do
it. What do we say? Where is it?
It's clear exactly what it says. Read it again. Which is that the schedule was not set out in the bill, point one. The department subsequently proposed it should be a Schedule 2 entity. The committee feels that the decision about which schedule a public entity should belong is primarily an executive function. They decided it's 2. Only if we disagree with it must we challenge it. We are not disagreeing with it. We are agreeing it should be a 2. I can tell you whether the committee agrees with that. Full stop.
My understanding of that paragraph is that it is reporting on the processes that are proposed. That this is what the department has proposed, and this is what the committee is saying, and this is what should be. So I don't understand which part of it. Maybe without arguing, why don't you come with a proposal so that we can discuss what you think should be written? And if we don't agree, we can vote on the report if that's the route you want to prepare.
Yes, thank you. In the bill itself, I don't know, because we received it now with the latest amendments, does it also refer to the schedule? Now, how are we going to discuss a bill in parliament or debate a bill in parliament? If we say, executive, please, we leave part of this bill to you, decide. This is what the department says, we say nothing, we leave it for you. I don't quite see how we go to the parliament to debate
those things. We're not saying that, but look, we can add a sentence that says, the committee agrees. Can we just slot that in? The department has proposed, the committee agrees with this. The committee agrees with this, it's very clear, but and the committee feels that the decision, not in our view, we can say you disagree, that's your right.
Chairperson, thank you. Yes, I disagree. I think from our side, we think it should be a 3B, not a 2. This is what we discussed previously as well, and we made an objection against the fact that I'll see in the other report as well that it has been seen as a 2, but we would like to see it as a 3B, and we can't go along with the report. We disagree with it. Thank you.
And that's why I said it's not about the content of what is said here. It's an objection to the scheduling of the bill, which are two separate issues.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, it's two separate issues, yeah. Because we didn't take a stance, but my stance is we should make it.
That's why I'm saying we should separate from what is written in the report and what we disagree with the content in terms of the scheduling of the bill. My understanding is that the DA is opposed to the set scheduled as 2.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with what is reflected in the report. Okay? That will be debated, discussed, and we will vote on it as we go through the bill itself.
Because obviously you have not chosen the formal part of the meeting, I might draw your attention to one other option, which is this sometimes happens. A party decides that it does not agree with a paragraph in the report, but it can approve the report as a whole. But that is a matter for the DA to decide. But as far as it may, you know, it won't kill us if we just add the sentence, the committee agrees with this, full stop. Okay? But that is not the issue. The issue is they oppose to the not the report, they oppose to the content of the decision. It's a policy issue, it's not a wording issue. It's not a lack of clarity. I mean, it's very clear in English, and if you do, you know, other translations in Shivenda or something, you will see. There's no clarity issue. Thank you. On the next bill, you will recall there's nothing there to do except finalize the scheduling. Again, we support Schedule 2, and we just call upon Sandra to help us to direct our attention to how that matters be handled.
If I could refer you to Section 11, in terms of content and format, exactly the same type of provision. The only difference between Intraco and SACS being where we had a reference to 16A, here it's 11A, and it's a missing issue. That's the only issue.
Yeah, and then there were things that Chris Wong picked up, which are small, slight typographical things. And let me thank Comrade Bongin Gossi and Chris Wong, who got it last night and went through it thoroughly.
And we asked Sandra to do it again, because it's impossible for me to adjust this commitment for today in preparation for it, for me to do it. So the two of them, can we acknowledge them, Conrad? They really did a good job. And we had a meeting from 9 to 9.30 to process everything, you know, to check that nothing's been lost. But Ntando's going to do another check after now. And if something's gone wrong, then NA will have to, NCOP will have to amend it and bring it back. Thank you.
Thanks to the members of the committee. If I could be precise with regard to section 6.1, in the third line, you will note that there's to the far right hand side of the line, there's a reference to telecommunications or electronic communications. We recommend that the reference to telecommunications be deleted. The reason being, telecommunications is a subset of electronic communications as defined in the Electronic Communications Act. So that reference to telecommunications is superfluous and potentially confusing. So we recommend that you delete that in 6.1. And then in 6.3d, you will find a reference in the beginning of the sentence to section 6.7. That should read section 7.7 and not 6.7. Those are the only editorial changes that we'd like to recommend.
Informally say we accept this talk. Okay, we know obviously that Mali were opposed to you when it comes to the point you can say you're opposed.
Yeah. So, you're not even opposed to the chairperson.
No. You'll oppose the particular clause, obviously, the chairperson should. On the report,
it's exactly the same report that was sent out to you. There's a mild change for various reasons after our study group meeting yesterday. And I draw your attention to what we did was we broke the paragraphs up and we separated out the issue which was rightly pointed out to us, that you can't lump together consultation within the departments with lack of consultation with public stakeholders. Moreover, if departments are not cooperating, it doesn't mean that it's DPE that is responsible. It could mean it's communication or treasury or any other department. So we've tried to accommodate that. So basically, paragraph 1 simply says we welcome the formation of broadband and we acknowledge its urgent necessity. We recognize the bill has to be processed expeditiously by the department. We are aware of the intricacies and complexities of telecommunications and the interests of major stakeholders in the private sector, needless to say, which the formation of broadband challenges. So although the department consulted with key stakeholders, we feel the consultation was not adequate. And the committee feels the department should have consulted more widely and effectively with key stakeholders and also within structures of the executive. The point here being that ultimately we have to deal with this department. And I think most of us in this committee agree that if other departments didn't cooperate. But you know, it's not, I mean, ultimately we deal with our own department. But we do say in paragraph 2, we just move paragraph 3 from the overall to paragraph 2 and simply say, the committee feels that there should be greater and more effective interdepartmental consultation and coordination of all the departments now, we say, that were involved in the scope. For example, this is the text is exactly the same. Has anybody not read the text since then? No, then it's exactly the same wording. It simply says that, I'm not going to go through every word, that the clauses on the ECA Act, which is now given to communications, that could have been decided before it came to Parliament. And it could have eased some of the concerns in the industry about InfraCo. Point 3. We feel that the submissions made by stakeholders in response to the gazetted version should have been given more attention. Of course, the Department amended the gazetted version of the bill to take into account the submission of key stakeholders, but we feel it didn't go far enough. Most stakeholders came to, it's exactly the same wording now, most stakeholders came to the committee's public hearings with the same submission, and through the parliamentary process, the department agreed. Our experience in this regard, it's not clear why the department said no initially, our experience in this regard raises a more general issue. It's not about this committee, it's about parliamentary committees in general. The need for the executive as a whole to consult effectively with relevant stakeholders before a bill is brought to Parliament
What, after all, is the point of the executive gazetting those? It cannot just be a nominal process. Effective and widespread consultation can certainly contribute to improving the quality of a bill and creating greater support for it, even before it comes to Parliament. And this will serve to ease the burden of committees which simply don't have the technical resources available that the executive does. The bill introduced to Parliament sought to amend the Public Finance Management Act and the ECA. It's important that when other committees are involved, we consult with them, which we did. Remember, communication sat with us, and I've been consulting with the Chair of Public Finance Committee regularly. The bill amends the PFMA. This is the clause that DA won't agree with. The bill amends the PFMA to, not clause, the paragraph, amends to classify infra schedule. Given the issues that emerged about whether infra code should be 2 or 3B, the committee feels we should make it clear that we think the decision about which a schedule is a public entity should belong to is an executive function primarily, and it should be defined in the bill. Of course, if a parliamentary committee disagrees with the executive decision, this it must present a formidable case for this. We can just add the sentence, our committee agrees that it should be Schedule 2, that InfraCo should be Schedule 2. So we'll just add that sentence, right? So that then they can say that they disagree. In the, you know, when you process it formally. We're not going to include it in our report. We're simply going to allow them to say it in the House, and they can do. In the case of the tax bill, I'll come back to it in a moment. We could have included in the report if we had no debate, but apparently we're not going to have a debate on that too. So in that case, we don't have to include it in the report. Now, we had concerted consultation and on the specific licensing of SOEs in the telecommunications sector. The committee feels that InfraCo should be licensed expeditiously and urges the Department of Communications and ICASA to act with due speed. The committee will raise this with the Portfolio Committee and Communications, Wong Nkosi and Eric Kowane. And Chris Wong will actually deal with that. But I am meeting with them tomorrow at the study group level at ANC, and I'm going to the committee meetings to finish my effect with them, to just push them to do it faster. Neotel, the second national operator, made several representations to the committee about its commercial agreements with DPE relating to InfraCo. The committee recognized the crucial role Neotel plays, but we are clear that the issues raised by them could not be addressed in the bill. You can't. It's not the responsibility of the committee. It's a contractual arrangement between a department and an entity, and nowhere in this 13 years have we ever interfered in that, nor do we have the right to. So we urge the two, however, to arrive at an amicable settlement in terms of the commercial agreement that is consistent with the spirit and letter of this bill. And we say that we recognize the crucial role Neotel can play in the telecommunications industry. We're aware that InfraCo is in a skeletal and somewhat undefined form. There's no guarantee it will succeed, but we are clear there's both a need and considerable potential for this SOE. As a committee, we'll monitor the progress keenly and offer whatever support we can consistent with our oversight role. This is exactly what we discussed in the committee repeatedly. So this is the report. Thank you.
Chairperson, if I can just say again here that we object against the fact that I can't agree with the committee that it's a Schedule 2. We would see, would like to see it as a Schedule 3B. And secondly, on paragraph 7 of this new version that we received this morning, paragraph 7, the last sentence, we urge DPE and Neotel to arrive at an amicable commercial agreement. This agreement to be made public, can't we add the words to be made public afterwards? It should not be a secret agreement because this is a public enterprise, a public interest. Thirdly, on paragraph 8, the second sentence, there are no guarantees that it will be a significant success. I mean, you know, you can't come to Parliament with something and you say it might work, it might not work. I think we should delete that sentence, that there's no guarantees. This is actually a request in advance for a blank check from Treasury, from the taxpayer in the future, to help us if it's not a success. Because at that stage, they can just refer back and say, like we said that many years ago when it went to Parliament, it might not be a success. If you go for something, it must be a success, so otherwise you just leave it. So that sentence, I think we can delete that at all in paragraph 8. Those are the three things that I would like to put on record. Thank you.
All right, one is...
paragraph 5.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to cover that, right? And then the other one, 7, no, it's not done. It's not done anywhere in the world. I think it's an absurd suggestion, actually, from somebody who's supposed to be an economist, but I won't... Absurd. It's utterly absurd. Nowhere in the world. Does a commercial transaction, not in Sweden, nowhere in the world, But if you're talking about openness about public enterprises, there's a shareholder management bill coming, openness and transparency. We in the ANC, more than anybody, will fight for that. And I don't think that is an issue we should deal with here. But on the issue of commercial transactions, I don't know how you can say that, because those are so sensitive things. There are competitors operating in the private sector. It's an absurd position, conviction. The final thing is no, it's a misreading of what's said there. We are playing our oversight role. It's very carefully worded. It says, we're aware that InfraCo, it'll be naive of us to think that InfraCo will necessarily be a success. And we are covering our own back, as it were, opposite of what he's saying. We are saying that we're aware at this stage it's a skeletal and somewhat undefined form. The department gets upset when you refer to it as skeletal, actually. They get upset because they say it's not really a skeletal, right? There are no guarantees it'll be a significant success, is what it's saying. The words are chosen carefully. A significant success. It doesn't say it won't be a success. Nowhere is there the implication. It will be getting state funding, obviously, because it's a state-owned entity until it gets off the ground, probably. But nowhere does it say there will be the responsibility of the fiscus. Nowhere. So I think that's also utterly absurd. But I have to leave.
Chairperson, thank you. No, I just want to react. I object against the fact that the chairperson accused me that being an economist and making an absurd suggestion. I see it's an insult. I am an economist, by the way, and I don't know whether you are one chairperson, again, chairperson. But because the reason why I said this, and I also asked the ministry in the past between the agreement between Mango and the SAA, because if it's of public interest, and when taxpayers' money is at stake, you have the right to ask that question. And we will carry on through this, even through the Auditor General. But at the end of the day, maybe we will come to the agreement. But there's no way to say that it is sensitive. Between companies, of course it is sensitive, but this is a public enterprise, financed by public money, and then it is not sensitive. It must be open to the public. But I don't want to argue with that anymore. We'll debate this further in the future.
Okay, and then, no. I want you to make a proposal. What do you want the report to say so that we discuss that? I don't want us to just talk for the sake of talking and arguing for the sake of arguing. I want you to make a specific proposal. How would you want that paragraph phrased so that we vote on that or we discuss it and see if we agree or we don't agree?
Thank you, Chair. I already said it. We urge DPA and Newtel to arrive at an amicable commercial agreement, then to add, to be made public, that is consistent. Just to add those three words.
Sorry, sir.
It's just a contribution in terms of what the requirements of the Promotion of Access to Information Act is. And it's just perhaps for your interest to note that in terms of the Promotion of Access to Information Act, commercially sensitive information where third parties are involved, e.g. NAOTEL, is not obliged to be made public. In fact, it's been protected in terms of the Promotion of Access to Information Act. So it's just a factual contribution.
We consulted experts. It's not done anywhere in the world. We asked for an example. Nowhere. The next thing to say is that, but on the issue of where public funds are used, complete and open transparency has been the norm in this committee, Comrade. But there are some things that will be ugly absurd. No government, even if it's a market government, that's fine. So can I just say finally, before I leave, because I'm late for the other committee meeting, one is that at this stage we are not sure when the two bills will be debated. As you know, Comrade, we had proposed, as we had said twice at least in committee meetings, there's no need for a debate on the tax bill. It's exactly the same issues as the South African Express bill. It's exactly the same issues that we debated in the last year's annual report to Parliament and the two previous years when Transnet came. There's nothing there. The Minister agrees there should not be a debate. However, the Programme Committee meeting this morning has got a proposal, which I sent to them by noting while the committee feels there should be no debate, the DA feels that there should be a debate. And so in terms of that, there will have to be a minimum debate, whatever it is. And the ANC met yesterday, and we felt 3 minutes for the ANC will be even too much, because there's nothing for us to say. It's a matter of monitoring facts and writing reports on it and hauling them before the commission. So we are asking for more than 2 to 3 minutes. The ANC met yesterday and decided on that. And in fact, maybe a minute will be enough too, but we'll do it. No, so I can give you a question. Then secondly, on the issue of the Infraco bill, we're having a standard debate, which will be, I think, in all 45 minutes with this, with the minister. And he sort of also feels that on broadband Infraco, we must have a debate, and that's correct. It's a new thing and so on. Now, at this stage, I'm not available for the 18th. I'm out of the country on that day, and there's no choice. I have a fixed economy ticket that I can't get out of, and it was based
on the fact that we were meant to finish this bill last night, and I'm supposed to be a piece of speech at this function. So the minister agreed that he would change his program to be on the 17th. But now the programming committee has suggested the 17th is out. The 16th, I contacted the minister. So now I propose to them a thing, which is very unusual. Government knows my appreciation that it's been done for a chair of the commission. It's never been done before, so I don't think they'll do it. But it's to do with the fact that these things are beyond our control. And the committee delivered. We, in fact, finished our votes 2 days before schedule. And then we had only the outstanding matter. Then may I take this opportunity to
see the record? This is my last committee meeting here, although I'm here as an ordinary member. I want to take this opportunity, really, of saying, which I think the whole world knows, that I am very grudgingly and reluctantly moving to justice. I don't think really, somebody of my background needs to apologize for this. It is true. No, it is true. On a more serious note, conversation. It is true that the movement can decide. You can't have members deciding individually. But at the same time, an individual has a right to have his or her own views about where they are most appropriately deployed, provided that does not prevail over the collective decision of the powers that be. So I have communicated to the powers that be. But I am especially sorry to leave this committee because of the excellent team that I have had the privilege and honor of coordinating. The study group in particular has been a wonderful study group. So I want to take this opportunity of thanking you that the reason why I'm leaving, I'm less, most reluctant to leave, is because of the wonderful study group that I have had a very good relationship with, even though we had our fights, particularly once the work in public, but we are friends more than that, and we don't keep these things, we're not like children. You should fight if you're friends. I also want to thank Eugenia Chang for her cooperation, and in particular, Martin Stevens and Pierre Rabhi, very constructive members of the opposition, who were very valuable in the way they processed us. But also want to thank all other members of this committee, who are not ANC members. So I want to thank you very much, and to say that I shall very much miss this committee. I'm rushing to my next committee, which I'm already late. But I shall keep in touch with you. And Fatima is very cool. She says, hey, just roll in any time you want to, if you have anything to say. I said the same to her about justice. I said, don't roll in any time. Roll in all the time. I really don't care for that committee. But I will do my job there, as you can see with the six-pack file. And I thank you very much for everything. Thank you all.
I'm glad, Robert, you did what I asked you to do, which is to clap and do that.
Hey, I think on that note, we'll have to have our opportunity as a committee to have a word to our outgoing chairperson. Because we cannot say anything now because he's not here, but we'll see how best we do that. And without any further ado, let us go to the formal processes. Thank you very much. I've never been in the meeting before, so I must mess this whole thing around. And I don't want anybody to be opportunistic and take advantage of that. Now, my understanding is that we have to go through the bills clause by clause, vote on them, and then at the end of the day vote, I mean at the end of that process vote on the entirety of the bill, and then move the motion to the ability. Oh, come on the motion. Oh, you see? No, I'm going to have a feel. That's not a motion of desirability. So much resistance. Okay. All right. I take it that we'll start with facts, okay? I take it that everybody has a copy of the motion of desirability for the South African Express bill. I won't read it. I table it as written in the motion of desirability paper. Yes. Facts. Oh, must I read it? Okay. Motion of desirability. South African Express Bill. That's in the opinion of the committee. Legislation is desirable to provide for the transfer of the shares, loan accounts, liabilities and guarantees in South African Express Proprietary Limited from Transnet Limited to the state, to provide for the main objects and powers of the South African Express Proprietary Limited, to provide for the borrowing powers of the South African Express Proprietary Limited, to provide for the conversion of the South African Proprietary Limited into a public company having a share capital incorporated in terms of the Companies Act 1973, and to provide for matters connected therewith.
Chair, I move that there's been more than desirable, I mean, that we move forward for adoption.
Any seconders? Chris 1. Chris 1 and Chris 2. Thank you. So now we should go to the bill. My brief is that we should go through the bill clause by clause. So we start from. The mover and the second, if there is an objection, I would assume that somebody was raised his or her hand. But if it is in terms of the procedure, are there any objections?
No objections, you see?
Now, can I go to the bill clause by clause, Bonani? Okay, let's start with sex. The desirability motion has been yes, endorsed or approved or accepted. So we'll start with the first page. Bill. There's no question. Any problems? The preamble. Set this one. It's written phase 3 consultative draft 11th September 2007. Okay? I'm on the preamble. It's amended. Right? Definitions. It's amended. Right? Objects of the Act, which is 2 of the bill, is amended. Clause 3 is amended. 4 is amended. 5 is amended. 6 is amended. Are we together? Or am I too fast? 7 is agreed. Is amended. 8 is amended. 9 is amended. Okay, sorry. 9, Mr. Van Den, or 8?
9 on page 2 now.
The last page.
Yeah, case of 2 also there that we object against the fact that it's just.
Okay, so can we note the objection?
And I assume that's the only yes. Clause there where they refer to this schedule.
Yes.
Okay, so that you also object against 2. We
okay.
See that as a free.
But that, of course, will be noted, but in principle, I'm sure you will when you participate in the debate. The short title and content, okay. Okay, and then I put the whole bill, is amended, so adopted and denoting the objection on clause 9 in the current statement is concerned with the bill. But the bill is 10. So, now I come to the report. Am I right?
Yes.
The report was tabled or presented. Any mover for the adoption of the report, having noted the issues raised by the DA? Any mover?
I move. Chairperson.
Okay. Any Eugenia Chen from the FT? Thank you. So we're done with the debate is on the 17th. As Mr. Karim had indicated earlier, that it was the view of the majority party that there be no debate, but because in terms of the rules of parliament, if one political party calls for the debate, we have no choice but to debate the list. There is nothing to be debated. So because the DA has called for a debate, because it wants to raise the scheduling issue, we will have the debate, I understand, on the 17th. The 17th is confirmed in the afternoon. Right. And the normal processes for debating will follow, which is not part of this meeting. Can we then go to Infraco? Let me read the motion of desirability. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to provide for the transfer of shares, loan accounts, liabilities and guarantees in broad Bend Infraco Propriety Limited from Eskom Holdings Limited to the state, to provide for the main objects and powers of the Broadband Infraco Propriety Limited, to provide for the borrowing powers of Broadband Infraco Propriety Limited, to provide for, remove the T there, can you see that?
Yeah.
Provide for, not to provide for, okay? The servitude and the additional rights in favor of the Broadband Infraco Propriety Limited, to provide for the expropriation of land or any right in land by the Minister for Public Enterprises on behalf of Broadband Infraco Propriety Limited, to provide for the conversion of Broadband Infraco Propriety Limited into a public company having a share capital incorporated in terms of the Companies Act 1973, and to provide for matters connected therewith. Any mover? I so move table the motion.
Chair, I move that the motion be accepted.
Chris Wang moves. Eric Colwani seconds. Any objections? Mr. Pudin, are you okay?
Yeah, it's the motion.
Yes. I just want to be sure. Okay. Can we then get to the deal? The same procedure. Do it? Oh, the do? Okay. What about it? Huh? She's never known. The long title is amended. The preamble is amended. Definition is amended. Clause 1, 2 is amended. 3 is amended, which is transfer of Infraco shares and Infraco interest. 4, main objects and powers is amended. 5, borrowing powers of Infraco. 6, servitude. 7, expropriation of land or rights in land by Minister on behalf of Infraco is amended. A conversion of Infraco into a public entity is amended, which is clause 8. Clause 9, effects of conversion is amended. Alright. If yes, or
online.
Yeah, do you want to say something?
No.
Oh, alright. Regulations 10 is amended. Amendment of clause 11 is amended. Oh, for the authority.
Chairperson, on the 11 amendments of laws also amended. This is not Schedule 3B, not Schedule 2.
Okay. let's not say.
And I assume this is the only clause
yes.
to which it refers.
Yes.
Okay.
And the short title is amended. And
yeah, must,
I move,
yeah.
no, no, wait, I must table the whole bill first. Now, I table the bill for adoption as amended, the whole bill. Chris, any move back? Eugenia Chen and Eric Colon. Now let's come to the report. Now I was beginning to enjoy this. I hope there were more girls. Now that I have been motion. The report as was tabled earlier, and having noted the areas that the DA referred to, and I then move for the adoption of the report. Kotwala moves. Nukumla seconds. Then the report is also adopted by the committee. The debate is on the 17th, which is next week. Vunsta. Am I right? Good.
Okay. Just information, the or both bills to be debated on the 17th. Both.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Remember, we have a program for the fourth quarter that we have to approve or adopt. It has gone through the necessary parliamentary processes where it has been approved by the chairperson of committees, Mr. Deutsch. But as a matter of principle, we have to look at it and adopt it. I therefore table the report. The program. I hope everybody has got a copy in front of them. And it's a program. It's not cast in stone. And it is just a way of saying these are the issues that still lie ahead for us. If there are any changes, I'm sure we'll always, as a committee, meet and make any changes in the program itself, but it's just tabled for purposes of the committee to adopt it.
On the 20th, there is a suggestion that we have a joint meeting with the electoral committee.
Okay, on the annual report.
On the annual report of the DPE.
Okay.
And then another thing, the 20th. November,
right, the second last.
And then the chairperson was saying that on the 20th again, if you look at the program, it says 10 to 1. So she was suggesting that we meet until 4, if necessary.
On the what?
On the 20th, on the annual report of the department, since it is our main annual report. So we might need more time, like instead of those 2 or 3 hours.
Those are the two proposals that we will bring on board the select committee so that we have a joint committee. Is that agreeable?
Yeah.
Makes sense to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chairperson, the last one, November 23rd.
No, let's talk about the two aspects.
Oh, okay.
The two proposals that have been made there.
Yeah.
Agreed. That we have a joint issue with the select committee. I think we both agree. And that we might have to go beyond 7 hours to ensure that she got the problem. And you might also, if you agree to extend it beyond 7 hours, then the people concerned should be informed. Okay? We agree in principle, but not sure about 4 o'clock.
Okay.
But beyond 1 o'clock, I don't have a problem. 4 o'clock?
Yeah, but then, at the same time, it also depends on whether the house will be sitting on the particular day. So if the house will be sitting, then we might have to apply for permission for members concerned
to be.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. whoever has resorted us, okay, let's, we'll see, because the parliamentary program is not out yet. But if it is out and that way, the sitting on Tuesday, which I suppose we will, then we'll see how, what to do. It depends, because there might be a tree line whip, which would mean we might not proceed beyond any 15 hours. But we have to find out sooner so that the department is away on time, so that they make their own plans depending on the time that would be breaking for the meeting. So by end of day today, we'll check on the sitting arrangements for the house. And then, Mani, you wanted to say, oh, so, okay, just before you, are you on the 20th?
No,
okay, then let me give money first for the 23rd.
Chairperson, I just want to get some information. The consideration of reports, annual reports, that will be tabled in Parliament, I assume. In the afternoon, or when will that be tabled in Parliament? Because this is still in the morning session till 1 o'clock when we consider. But when will the report then be tabled in Parliament?
That one we don't have a date yet, but that one, like, what is going to happen after we consider all annual reports? I'll draft a comprehensive report on all the annual reports, then we sit down as a committee and then consider and then adopt, and then maybe it will appear on the 18th. I think it will have to be next year, since Parliament rises on the 23rd.
Next year.
Yeah.
But the principle, yes, it has to be here. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I just only want to raise an issue, as you have indicated, that maybe where possible we might make some changes and so on. The first issue is departing from Wednesday, which is our normal meeting day. We are clear that committees have been given days for meetings. If you depart from Wednesday, you conflict with other committees, then the chances that other members might not be available. That's the thing which is there. Second, the Chair was just saying, is no any way of avoiding the Friday. Because like myself and Levin, a person I go every Friday.
Okay. maybe that one, like, I'm hoping that Geneva will assist. Because it's part of the problem is that some of the people who are supposed to come and present are not available. ESCOM, for instance, they were indicating that they won't be able to come up this year, so they'll only come next year. So we had to find a date for them to come up before the committee this year. And another thing that is happening, I think, is from the House Chair, the Federal Office. They say that Friday is a normal committee day. So committees should meet on Friday. So, for instance, like if you were to go and apply for special permission to meet, maybe like Tuesday and Friday, you'll find that in most cases they're going to force you to meet on a Friday, not on a Tuesday. Apparently, because like, you know, people like Eric prefer to leave at 11 on Friday.
Chair, no, this is, Chair, I think that the committee is not getting what current Eric is saying, because on Friday I've got joint budget committee, which means I won't be able to attend. And as far as I know, I've been dealing with ESCOM's annual report, so I'm not too sure who else is going to take over on that aspect.
Chair, maybe in addition, Chair. You see, the issue why I'm raising Friday is that our staff who sit in a joint monitoring for the youth, disability, and so on, those joint meetings are scheduled for Fridays only. The other days of the week have been given to other committees. So there's a real issue here in terms of how Parliament program works and so on. That's why we're raising that particular matter. Because even if I did, I have passed 10, but I can't go there. And then I'll be from there.
Let us agree that we take note, the committee secretary takes note of the concerns raised, okay? Not because people are leaving early on Friday, that kind of thing, but because a Friday is a meeting day for other portfolio committees, and therefore maybe some of the members here will have to go to those meetings, because Fridays are meant for those committees, and we as public enterprises, our day is a Wednesday. let us see how to
okay.
to deal with it.
I think the only problem, I think we've got only two Fridays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the most important one being the 9th of November. So there maybe we can we can just maybe request René again, maybe to check with Telcom if they will be available on any other day. But she indicated to me that that was the only
Why is Eskom dictating terms to us?
Chairperson, Eskom
is... We're calling Eskom here. We are the portfolio committee. Eskom cannot tell us who are available on that day.
Chairperson, the initial date that was agreed to by Eskom was the 14th of November. But because they have to go... they're going on tours to raise finance for the CAPEX. They unfortunately weren't able to make it, so they agreed to an early date next year. However, the outgoing chairperson, Comrade Yunus, he indicated that he wants all annual reports to be completed before the end of the year. So we needed to get a date where both the chairperson of Eskom and the CEO of Eskom is available. And unfortunately, they are only... I mean, the diary is full, but the CEO is available on the 9th, and the chairperson is willing to change his diary in order to be on the 9th. So, unfortunately for us, that is the only day that Eskom is available.
Let us leave the program as is. Let us agree on the 9th. Let us agree on the 25th. We might have to make a request for the two members to be christened. But let's leave the program as it is, especially the 9th. Well, the 23rd, because we'll be considering the report as such, not necessarily, you know, a briefing from the entities themselves. It will be the committee considering the reports themselves. So maybe a member or two might not necessarily be there as long as we have a quorum. But what is important is the meeting of the 9th, where there will be a briefing by the entity itself. So I'm saying, can we reapply our minds to that?
Chairperson, just one belief, we just can come to the rescue of the UIC College as well. Is that, and I think our officials must understand this very clearly, you know, the enterprises are accountable to Parliament. We can't, as members of Parliament, diarise according to officials. If Parliament requests those people to come and to comment on their reports, not to tell them tomorrow, you must be here tomorrow, but I remember the chairperson from the Finance Committee said that many a time, even to the President of the Reserve Bank, you won't tell us when you want to come to Parliament. We'll tell you when you shall be here and when you will be here. And I mean, that was said in Parliament in a committee where I was to the governor of the Reserve Bank. So, if the chairperson, the CEO, feels that they are too important for Parliament, that we must diarise according to their diaries, I think you should inform them. Otherwise, it's not the way Parliament works. So, I just assert this before, not that we necessarily change the days, but in future, when Parliament asks me to be here, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, let us leave it at that note. I mean, in principle, this is what we all agree on. But for purposes of, we're not naive to the challenges that are out there. So let us try and for now balance. But I think that message that indeed we can't really be told by entities when to meet and how to meet. That's the bottom line. But we do understand the circumstances at this point in time. And on that note, can we then adopt the program? Okay? I think that was the last session that I'm sharing.